Good afternoon. You're listening to Dwell on Truth. I'm your host, Brenton Powers. And on today's program, we're going to talk about the gospel and how it applies to our mission. Why am I here? What is God's plan for my life? If you would like to make a difference in this world for the kingdom of God, but feel like you need to get more equipped, this program is for you. So I hope you're blessed as you listen and dwell on truth with me, Brenton Powers. Do you have any questions? Questions about the Bible, about the Christian faith, about the gospel? There is truth in the scriptures, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to guide us into all the truth. So I've been walking with the Lord for 25 years, been a missionary for 20 years, 11 years full-time in Europe. If I can help you, write in a question and I'll try to answer it from the Bible. What is my purpose here on earth? Why am I here in the Monterey Bay Area? I believe God has a purpose, and that's to preach the gospel, the good news to non-believers so that they may be saved. If that's you, I want you to be saved. I want you to believe in Jesus so you can be forgiven for your sins, know God, and have eternal life. And I also believe that the gospel is important to preach to ourselves, to Christians, because it's the basis for our life. And we need to remember what God has done for us so that we can walk in confidence and live by faith based on what Jesus did for us. That's why the name of the show is Dwell on Truth. But there's a meaning behind the word dwell, and it's an acronym for the things that I know I'm called to. And as I look at these things, it's things that all of us are called to. D-W-E-L-L. Think about this as your calling as well, and I'm here to help you to fulfill your calling and encourage you. I want to help you to fulfill the Great Commission. We need to work together. We cannot do this alone. I can't do it alone. D stands for discipleship. Discipleship. If you know the Bible, you remember before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So discipleship is the process of making disciples, teaching followers of Jesus how to follow him. And he says, do this in all nations, baptizing them. That's one part of discipleship, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We can talk about the Trinity if you like, if you have questions about the Trinity. But here's a scripture identifying the triune God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So baptizing them as part of discipleship, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. So the key word is make disciples. That's what dwell begins with. Second letter in dwell is worship. And very simply, the Bible says worship God. In Revelation chapter 22, in a couple of places, when John the apostle is overwhelmed to see an angel, he falls down to worship, but the angel says, "Don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." That's Revelation 19:10. And also in Revelation 22:9, he said, "You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." So that's a command from an angel. He doesn't receive our worship. God receives our worship. In fact, God is seeking worshipers. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 4. Yes, John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said, "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So that's a deep verse, one that worth meditating on, thinking about what does that mean to worship in spirit and truth? What does worship mean? There's several words in the Hebrew language when you look at the Psalms that are translated worship: adoration, bowing down, laying on your face before God, honoring him. We, in church, we sing praise and worship. We tend to think about it being music, but worship isn't just music, but worship is what we're called to do. Another word for worship is to glorify God. And ultimately, when you think about what's the reason we're here, why did God make us, is for his glory. So if you want to fulfill God's plan for your life, then seek to glorify and worship God. In fact, I would say this is the central thing in all of the the focus of the Great Commission and the greatest commandments is. It's to be God-centered. We make disciples of Jesus. We worship God. We love God. He deserves all of our praise and worship. And so worship is a key part of our purpose, our mission in life. Now, for me, when I became a follower of Christ, now I was professing to believe in God since I was 7 years old and I said the sinner's prayer, but I didn't really have repentance in my life. So I didn't have a change of mind about the purpose for my life. I lived for myself, whatever I wanted, but I didn't take into consideration too much what God's plan for my life was, other than to give me eternal life, which was, I thought that was, that's what God was good for. Give me eternal life. I want to go to heaven when I die. But there's more to it than that. We can give glory to God in heaven when we die, and we're going to do that for all of eternity, but we practice here. We live here for his glory as well. You know, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it in a way that's going to bring God glory. Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Worship is about giving glory to God. Now, he is glorious by nature. We don't need to make him more glorious. When we glorify God, we're not changing his nature. We're recognizing who he is and what he is, that he is a glorious God. When you think of glory, you think of a couple things. Maybe you think of a bright light, the glory shone from the presence of the Lord. But it also means the goodness that we boast in, that we rejoice, we glory in him. So giving glory to your Father, or living for his glory, means to rejoice in him and live for his rejoicing. Seek to please him. You know, life is to be about worship. Lives are to be a living sacrifice. According to Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, based on his mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So worship is also the way we live, the way we die, the way we offer ourselves to God. That's the second letter in dwell. What dwell stands for is worship. When I was a teenager, God called me to repentance and he called me to live for his glory. And I literally heard his voice calling me as I was surrendering my life to him afresh. I heard him say, I want you to make music to glorify me. At the time, I was a new musician. I was playing in some rock bands, but I went to a youth conference where I was encouraged. They actually called people to give up listening to secular music, to focus on God. If that was a distraction for their relationship with, from their relationship with God, then it's an idol and it's worth laying down. And I felt like, yeah, I need to do that. I recognize this music has become an idol. It has affected me negatively. And if God is calling me to a relationship with him, then I need to focus on that, devote my life to him. I'm going to move on now and talking about what dwell stands for, my mission, discipleship, worship, evangelism, loving God and loving people. I just talked about worship. Let's move to the letter E in dwell, which is evangelism. Now, this is an important thing to Jesus because he said in Mark chapter 16, go preach the gospel. The general great commission that is given is in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now, for those who've been a Christian for a long time, and you're hearing this, you're thinking, okay, I know that, I've heard that, but are you doing it? You know, if you are just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're missing out. Don't be a forgetful hearer of the word where the word doesn't profit you. Don't act as if Jesus never gave us a great commission to obey. This is to be our mission, one of the missions in life. I talked about discipleship. Go make disciples of all nations. Second, I talked about worship. Worship God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Thirdly, we're talking about evangelism. And this is one of Jesus's last things he said before ascending to heaven. He told his disciples to go proclaim the gospel. Now, let's look at that phrase, proclaim the gospel, and break it down a little bit, just because sometimes it just goes over people's head, and there's this block that comes up where people, you know, I'm not really a preacher of the gospel, or, you know, can't we just do that by living our lives? You know, didn't St. Francis of Assisi say, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words? And I haven't found it necessary to use words. I just live my life and hope that people ask me what's different about me. But that's not the plan that God had. He said, go proclaim the gospel. You can't do that without opening your mouth. The gospel is a message. It's not your life. Now, yes, we should live consistently with the gospel, and our actions do speak louder than words sometimes. If our words are in conflict with our actions, then it cancels out. But if you are a Christian, you're following Jesus, you have authority from Jesus to go and preach the gospel. So let's look at that phrase. What does it mean to proclaim the gospel? I'm going to use my Bible, eSword Bible program once again. What I'd like to do is I will go and look at the King James Version that has KJV Plus that has, where did it go? Okay, there it is. It has Greek letters. Shout out if you have eSword. Text, comment, say you have eSword. It's a free program. I've already plugged it on this broadcast. So eSword. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach. That word preach is the Greek word caruso, like Robinson Crusoe. And it means to preach, proclaim, publish, proclaimed, proclaiming. It's used in a lot of different verses. So if I click on that Greek word, and then I go over to the Strong's dictionary, it says caruso means to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth, parentheses, the gospel, or to preach, a preacher, proclaim, publish. So picture a herald on a step with a scroll proclaiming the king's edict. That's what we're doing with proclaiming the gospel. We are delivering a message from our king, heralding. It's news. So it needs to be announced. People need to hear it. How shall they believe unless they hear? So go preach. And what there's a scripture that pops into my mind, says, go stand and speak in Acts 5:20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The apostles certainly were called and fulfilled their calling to preach the gospel to every creature that they could. And the gospel spread throughout Jerusalem. They turned that city upside down. It went to Judean area, up to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Just as Jesus said, you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So we need to be laboring to spread the gospel because our Lord Jesus has called us to do that. Now, we all have different roles. Maybe you are not going to quit your job, you know, go to Bible college, get equipped, go overseas, learn a foreign language, start proclaiming there. It wasn't easy to raise support, get prepared for all of that. And a lot of people sacrificed financially in order for my wife and I to move to Europe back in 2001 when we moved to Ukraine. And it took a couple of years to get good at speaking Russian so that I could preach the gospel in Russian and build friendships and fellowship with the church and lead worship and sing in Russian and Latvian, and Ukrainian there. I did eventually learn Latvian as well, and was able to lead some Bible studies in Latvian and preach the gospel on the streets in Latvian. Not everyone is called to be a foreign missionary. Clearly, missionaries need people to send them and support them, and that might be the way that God has used you in the past. And currently, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary to the Monterey Bay area, and I'm looking for people who maybe they don't feel called to be that person out there preaching on a box, but that's part of my call, is to preach the gospel, not just in the two or three people that are my best friends in that circle, or in the brief opportunities I might have to sow a little seed here or there at work with my coworkers. You know, it's sketchy sometimes, difficult to find the appropriate time at work or around work or on a work break to spread the gospel there. But the most free way of spreading the gospel to the most people, the quickest amount of time that I found, is called open air preaching. Now, of course, that's a different vibe than going up and talking to someone that you know. It's also different than starting a conversation with someone you don't know on the street, a one-on-one encounter, or two by two if you have a friend that you want to go with. Perhaps you want to go with me and learn how to share the gospel. That is one way that the gospel can be shared, is just going up to people on the street and saying, can I ask you a question? What do you believe about Jesus? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Learning some of these opening questions. Would you consider yourself to be religious or spiritual? So there's a lot of different ways I've started conversations with people in order to lead it to the gospel. But how are they going to hear unless you open your mouth at some point and try and lead the conversation to talking about Jesus? That's what the good news is all about. And so there's a lot involved in stepping out of our comfort zone, getting the courage to open our mouth and talk about Jesus, who we know is a controversial person. And the gospel is controversial, and we're afraid of how people may take it. But what about God? Do we fear God and what he may think of us if we don't share? Do we fear what may happen to non-believers if they don't hear the gospel, if they don't believe it, if they don't repent, if they don't get saved? Where do they go? The Bible says hell, the lake of fire. I believe it's a real place. Jesus described it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dies not and the fire isn't quenched. And people there would just love a drop of water to cool their tongue, but there's no relief there. It's constant, eternal, conscious torment. I don't like thinking about that, but we have a choice. We can either suppress that truth that is where non-believers will go if they don't get forgiveness of their sins, by blocking it from our minds so we don't think about it, or we can do something about it, and instead of carrying that weight, carrying that knowledge, give the person a choice. You know, it shouldn't be up to us whether someone gets to hear the good news or not. Jesus didn't say, go preach the gospel if you want to people in all nations. No, he said, it's a command. Go do it. People need it. And if we don't do it, it's a great omission. So I'm passionate about the Great Commission. I've lived it. I've seen the book of Acts in action. I've seen some miracles that go and follow the preaching of the word. The greatest miracle I'm seeking is for someone to be born again, because that's a work of God. It's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, so that no one would boast. But I think Christians in America, unfortunately, we settle for the American dream, when we need to have a kingdom and eternal perspective. We need to have a vision for heaven, vision for eternity, not just getting by each day, making money to live more comfortably, to be set up, but we need to go. Now, I'm preaching to myself as well. Even though I've been a missionary for 11 years, it's a daily thing taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following him. It's much easier to just sit at home, build up your own comfortable spot. It's a struggle. I get distracted. I'm figuring out the technology and what's the best way to use it. And I do this for a living, so that takes time. My wife and kids are important, so I need to spend time with them. And I want to do more than I've been doing. But I'll admit, it is a stressful thing sometimes to think about getting up and preaching the gospel. Whether it's a one-on-one conversation with someone you know and love, or a total stranger that you'll probably never meet again, that's a little easier. But still, you're getting out of your comfort zone and putting yourself out there. But let me encourage you with this. When you go, there's a promise attached to it. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age, in Matthew 28:20. So Jesus is with us. We don't go alone. We don't evangelize alone. We don't worship alone. When we go to make disciples, we don't do that alone. So my encouragement is, trust the Lord, and he will work with you and for you and through you. And it's the greatest privilege to be used by God. So that's when I dream about what I want to do in life. That's what I dream about. When I make decisions, what I'm going to prioritize in life, I keep these things in mind. Missions-minded approach. approach to life. There's a saying, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I think those who are heavenly minded are the most earthly good, but I understand what's meant by that. And the reality is we do have to take care of our physical needs. And if you're a husband and father, you need to take care of your wife and children. So that involves physical works for blue collar workers like me. I got a theology degree in Bible college, so that's not helping me in my career. And I lived in Europe for 11 years as a missionary. That's not helping me in secular work. God is good. He's providing just basically what we need. But my desire, and maybe you can help with this, is to go full-time in the ministry again. Let's start with one day a week. I've been struggling to make time, squeeze time into making these radio shows every week. Basically, the way that it happens is I spend about 10 hours a week, but I'm working a lot. And so where do those hours come from? Usually it comes from my free time, what would be relaxing time after work, and I lose sleep most weeks finishing up my edits for the radio show. So rather than burn out by trying to do this all by myself, being a tent maker, I'm going to provide for my own ministry, I want to open up to receive financial support from people who want to partner with me to see the gospel spread in the Monterey Bay Area through radio. So if you want to help with that, radio is still listened to by people of different generations driving in their cars, but it's also a podcast. If we can spread the word about that, you can support financially. You can support by sharing a link to the podcast on your social media or talking to people about it. Hey, have you heard this podcast? I think it's really important that we see what our role is in fulfilling the Great Commission, and that we seek to be active in spreading the gospel and making disciples. It takes the body of Christ to work together. Anyway, this isn't intended to be a big spiel to get your support, but what I do want to see is people activated, stirred up to fulfill the Great Commission. What can you do? What has God gifted you with to use for His glory, for the spreading of His gospel, of His kingdom? So I'm going to wrap up here with finishing what DWELL stands for: D, discipleship; W, worship; E, evangelism. And the two L's are love God and love people. That's how Jesus summarized all the law, is summed up in these two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment, because God is the greatest. And He loved us so much. We love Him because He first loved us. So love God. Second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, but I say to you, love your enemy. And of course, husbands, love your wives. Mothers, love your children. We're to love. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, they're all summed up in the one word, love. Now, why did I include these words? It's not in the Great Commission, but it really is. How are we going to go make disciples unless we care about the nations? How are we going to go evangelize the lost unless we love them enough to care about where they're going more than we care about how we look when we share it? We love people, so we want them to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If He so loved the world and He gave His Son, what can we give? Our time? Talents, our treasure? Yes. Don't just sit there. Actively be a part of spreading the gospel. You can do that by supporting me, supporting other gospel ministers, or getting equipped to share yourself. Study the Word of God. What does the Bible say is the true gospel? So to sum it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that, first point, Christ died for our sins. If you can only preach five words, those are some great words. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Verse 4, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Have you believed that? Have you believed the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for your sins? You don't have to die for your sins. You, through him, can be forgiven and can know you are forgiven and have eternal life, peace with God, to never be alone, but to spend eternity and spend this life with God for his purposes, for his pleasure, for his glory, and for your neighbor's good when you love them enough to share the gospel and to lead them to follow Christ as you follow Christ. That's what Dwell on Truth is all about, helping you to become more familiar with the truth, equipped for every good work. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth," in John 17. So let's dwell on truth, because the truth came and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him, John 14, 6. There is salvation in no one else, no other name besides the name of Jesus can we call upon to be saved. Because if you believe in your heart that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you confess with your lips that he is Lord, you call upon the Lord, you will be saved. God is good to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. You will be saved. It's not by your good works or your best efforts or being religious or being smart. Humble yourself. Admit what you need is Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He died in our place so that we can be forgiven. We can receive his righteousness and eternal life. So that's my desire. That's it. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to be in heaven with me after we all die. And I want God to be glorified in your life. So it starts with you surrendering to him and learning to follow him. So if I can help you in any way to do that, please let me know. You can private message me on Facebook. You can email me brentonpowers@gmail.com or dwellontruth@gmail.com. You can email your questions for the next show to questions@dwellontruth.org. And next Friday, November 15th, I'll be on KKMC, of course, as it's a weekly show at 1:30, but I will also be on KSCO with the Flight 1080 show. That's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on November 15th on 1080, AM 1080. So pray for us that we would clearly present the gospel on the air. And then after that, if you're in the Santa Cruz area and you want to join us, we're going downtown Santa Cruz to preach in the open air, to start conversations with people on Pacific Avenue from probably 6:30 or 7 till 9:30 p.m. So if that's something you're interested in, seeing the gospel being proclaimed on the streets of Santa Cruz, let's get together. You want to be equipped for spreading the gospel and see God work in this Monterey Bay area. You're in that area and you want to fellowship. You want to spend time worshiping, getting discipled, practicing evangelism along with me. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. Are you with me? Want to join me? Contact me. Call me. My phone number is 831-594-2633. Let's talk about how we can dwell on truth together. 831-594-2633. So thank you for listening to the radio show, Dwell on Truth. I'm your host, Brenton Powers. For more info, you can go to my website, dwellontruth.org.